That's our number. Now, it's 14 minutes past 12. You're listening to Talkback. They were both born in mother and baby homes, but a Labour TD didn't meet her sister for more than 50 years. Anne Ferris shared a pot of tea with her for the first time a few weeks ago in a Dublin hotel. She's been telling me what that was like, and also the story of how her own baby was given up for adoption when she was a teenager. I began by asking Anne how she and her sister came to be adopted in the first place.
Well, what happened was that our birth mother, I was born in 1954, and I was very, very lucky insofar as that my birth mother's sister took me into her family and her home and adopted me after a couple of years. It was very usual in those days in rural Ireland that, there would be the inter-family arrangements, that if one of the, girls in the family got pregnant, perhaps a married brother or a married sister would take the baby and rear it as its own. So that was quite usual at the time, and I was very, very fortunate. But my younger sister, she was born some 5 years after me, and she was born into a mother and baby home, and she was there for 18 months. She was eventually adopted by an Irish couple who moved to the UK, and I never knew that she existed, and she didn't know I existed.
So how did she find out?
Well, apparently, when she got married in the 1980s, she sent to Ireland for her baptismal cert because she was getting married in church, and she realised that she had been born in a certain part of Ireland, in Wexford. And so she decided, she was an only child, she decided that she would wait until her adoptive parents passed away because they were very, very loving and very good to her. And she, as adoptive people do, she felt that she was a little bit guilty for even thinking about trying to trace her birth parents. So she waited until they passed away and made some investigations, but she didn't get very far. The records here in Ireland are, they're harder to access than the records in England. So then some years passed, and a friend of hers who was into genealogy and into tracing her path and people's paths persuaded her to have another go at it. And she was successful this time, and she very much found out a lot and contacted a mutual cousin of ours, and the cousin who knew my story put her in touch with me, and lo and behold, as they say, one day I got an email from her and I was just blown away by it.
I bet. How on earth did that feel?
Well, just totally. I knew that I had older sisters and a brother, but I never knew that I had a younger sister. It was just absolutely amazing. And she told me that she was travelling over to Ireland. She lives in the UK. She was travelling over to Ireland to travel down to Wexford to see where she had been born and her birth parents had lived. And she asked me, would I get together with her to sit down and have a chat and, just to meet up. So, of course, I said yes straight away, and we did. And it's actually 3 weeks ago today that we met in Dublin. And it was just amazing, Wendy, as you can imagine.
So you met her for afternoon tea in the Merrion Hotel just across from the Doyle. What was that like? Whenever you walked in to meet her, or when you were waiting for her to arrive, or whatever way it worked, talk me through it.
Well, what happened, I'd asked my older sister, who is, my adopted sister, to come with me because she is 7 years older, and she would have a lot of the family history more than I had. So I asked her, and also for a little bit of support because I was just so nervous going on my own. So the two of us went into the Merrion Hotel, and I was looking around to see, I had booked a table, and I'd looked around to see, would I know this person? This had been going through my head and around, and of course my stomach was churning. And as soon as I saw her, and she was there with her friend, I knew straight away it was her. The similarity was amazing. I mean, no one would ever doubt that we were sisters. She's 5 years younger. She had the same face, she had the same laugh, and I knew straight away it was her. And it was just amazing. And it was funny because I alluded to this in my speech in the Dáil, that while people, onlookers, if they were passing by, they'd say, oh, they're clearly two sisters. We were actually there, but we were very much strangers. And that is the thing that I most regret. never knowing that I had a sister, a younger sister, never having had the opportunity to meet her, never having been able to grow up with her and share with her the things, all the things that sisters share. So it leaves a huge gap in both our lives.
How do you try to fill that, I wonder? It's a bit of a void almost, isn't it? How do you fill that? How do you put the memories in there, or the parts of your separate childhoods in there to make those links?
Well, I think you have to go back to the very, very beginning and think of our birth mother. And I suppose she had an unfortunate marriage and then went on, you know, became pregnant with me some years after her marriage broke up, and this was completely frowned upon, as you can imagine, in the local rural community, which is why probably her sister stepped in and said, look, I will deal with this, I will take the baby. And then 5 years later, she found she got pregnant again. So in those days, in the hidden, dark Ireland that we lived, we're talking about the 50s, children, women who weren't married or didn't have, the support of a man with them, they were sent off to the mother and baby homes. Now, I was born in a mother and baby home in Dublin and was, taken straight away, which was great, into a very loving family. She went to another mother and baby home then in Wexford to have my younger sister. And in those days, and we have all know about the Magdalene Laundries now, that's a worldwide scandal, a lot of women who bore more than one baby were all actually sent off to these mother and baby, the Magdalene Laundries, to be punished because they were deemed as fallen women. So you have to, I suppose, to understand where we are now, you have to go back to the very beginning and think about our mother and what she was going through. I mean, I suppose I'm 59 now, I'll be 60 in September, and I've had a lot of, I suppose, ups and downs in my own life. And you just get to the stage where I very much regret that I didn't have all those years to share with my beautiful younger sister. But, you know, I have to get on with life. Everybody has to get on with their daily life. After I met her, we sat for 3 hours chatting away, and I learned about her own children. I told her about mine. I had to go back into the doll. But then last week, as you know, the minister was announcing the commission of investigation into the Tuam mother and baby home in Galway. And I just felt here was an opportunity for me to stand in the dole to recount some of my story, because I honestly believe that not only should places like Tuam be investigated in this commission, but that the Magdalene laundries will need to be investigated, the county homes, the Protestant and Catholic county homes where so many women were sent into, babies were taken from them. We all know of the story of Philomena Lee, whose baby and thousands of other babies were taken from them and brought over, adopted illegally in a lot of cases, to families in the USA. And so all of these things have to be investigated. Also, the state's responsibility has to be acknowledged. There has to be an apology made to all of these people. And it's funny, Wendy. The following day after I met my younger sister, I met with three beautiful women who were mixed race. And what happened was that when they were born, and in most cases they were born in Dublin, and their fathers were doctors and they were black, and their mothers were Irish and they were white, and I suspect that the mothers may have been nurses. But these children spent all their childhood, all their teenage years in religious-run institutions. And they were never considered for adoption. You know, in those days, they wouldn't have been considered as appropriate candidates for adoption. And they told me firsthand the stories of racial discrimination, the abuse they got, the physical abuse, the mental abuse, because it was bad enough for, you know, any child to be in one of these places. But when you were of a mixed race, you were really discriminated against. And those stories have to be heard as well.
And I know you're very much campaigning for that, and as you mentioned, for the other homes to be included in the inquiry as well. Just one final point, Anne. I know you mentioned there that you've had ups and downs in your own life, and I suppose ironically in this context, that included a teenage pregnancy yourself.
That's right. It's what, Wendy, what we all call now a date rape. I was very, very young. I had completed my fifth year in school. I got a small summer job. And I met, you know, an older man there who took a big shine to me. I was totally flattered. And, you know, one thing led to another, and I found out I was pregnant. And in fact, I didn't even know. And the family doctor actually told my mother, and because I was a minor, and I went through the pregnancy. Now, thankfully, again, there was still a stigma in the early 70s about girls getting pregnant, but I was very, very lucky. Where I could have been sent off to a mother and baby home, I wasn't. I was kept at home, I was cared for, and my own baby was born then. Now, I had always felt, I suppose, and again, I was very, very young, that I would keep my baby, that I would rear my baby, and of course, I wasn't much more than a child myself. But my parents had a different idea for me, and they made the decision that a baby should be taken from me and put up for adoption. Now, they didn't speak to me before they made that decision, and on the day that I left the hospital, I was sent down, you know, to sit in the car and, you know, and to wait. And my mother said, look, I'll bring the baby down. And unfortunately, it didn't work out that way, because as soon as I got into the car, you know, sped away. Oh, I was goodness. Brought off to the adoption authority here in Dublin. I was made sign the papers over, and I never saw my baby again. And which was just
heart-wrenching.
Absolutely.
It must have been.
Absolutely. And, you know, and because I had only learned, funnily enough, when I was pregnant, that I had been adopted myself. So I had the two things to deal with. Now, I understand from talking to my parents subsequently that I had been told at a young age, but of course I didn't, you know, I probably went in one ear and out the other, and I went off to play, and as children do. But I was told when I was pregnant that I had been adopted. So I was dealing with those two things. But luckily enough, and I have been very, very lucky all my life, my daughter and we traced each other when she was in her early 20s, and we found each other. And in fact, I have three daughters now. She is the one of my daughters that looks most like me and would be more like me in personality. But I just thank God that I have been very, very lucky.
Well, isn't that a remarkable story now? Anne Ferris, TD there. And, well, you heard the story yourself. Labour TD from Wicklow. She's campaigning for the Magdalen Laundries and County Homes to be included in the Irish Government inquiry into mother and baby homes. That...